So we had a significant weather event in our neighborhood last month that did some pretty significant damage, not Hurricane Harvey significant, but significant nevertheless. We lost enough trees to fill Chuck Morris's 16-foot trailer as well as his truck bed. We had 9 fence panels damaged, 5 sections of fence blown completely down, 3 fence posts sheared off at the base. Our next door neighbor had his air conditioning unit moved off of the pad and had to have technicians come out and fix that the next day. We could feel our whole house moan, sway, and creak under the load of the wind. Well, our neighbors to the north of us own 5 acres of land, and about 4 or 5 times a year, they rent it out for parties. I'm talking tents, tables, food, DJs, flashing lights, and music, loud music, like ranchero music. So that night, the storm blew in. I'm guessing they probably had about 100 people there. So I'm thinking they're going to have to shut this whole thing down, right? Wrong. They weren't going to let a little rain, thunder, lightning, or even 80-mile-an-hour straight-line winds ruin their plans. Incredulous, I step outside of my garage about 10:30 that night and look around the corner, and I couldn't believe my eyes. One of the tents that they had set up had completely collapsed, but the music was still playing. The lights were still flashing. The party was still hopping. They were living La Vida Loca. Who said I can't speak Spanish, Adam? Boom, right there. But they were going crazy. They were having way too much fun to pull up the stakes. Ephesians 5, 15, and 16 says that we are to be very careful then how we live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. My neighbors to the north were making the most of their opportunity, even when it didn't make any sense at all to those looking on from the outside. I couldn't help but think that what they were doing in the middle of that storm must look a lot like what we're doing in the world that we live in. It doesn't make sense to the world around us that we would give ourselves to living in community with one another as family. It doesn't make much sense to the world around us that we would give ourselves to being countercultural when being countercultural is so costly. It doesn't make sense to the world around us that we would give ourselves to standing for righteousness in a day when absolutes are becoming obsoletes. It doesn't make much sense to the world around us that we would give ourselves to proclaiming a message that is deeply offensive to postmodern, post-Christian, pluralistic America. But because we have found something in Jesus Christ that is so real and so good and so much better than anything else this world has to offer, we come together in community to celebrate the riches of His grace. We come together to offer ourselves to each other in ministry. We come together that we might move out into the world on mission. We come together to proclaim a crucified and resurrected Messiah who rescues us from the lie of self-salvation through moralism, which is trying to be good little boys and girls so that we can tip the scales of justice in our favor and go to heaven when we die. You know, moralism is what most people outside of the church think that Christianity is all about. It's about following the rules. It's about rules-based acceptance. Follow the rules and you're in. Unbelievers generally think that the message of the church is behave, because most people believe that God is primarily interested in them becoming good people. But our message, The gospel message is not that God is primarily interested in us becoming good people. God is primarily interested in us coming to grips with how depraved we are, how wretched we are, how much we need a Savior, so that we would fix our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. And so because of that lie of moralism, works-based righteousness, most people outside the church who don't understand the gospel reject Christianity. It's also why many people inside the church burn out. They bought into the lie that acceptance is based on performance. So they wake up one day, throw up their hands and say, you know what, I'll never be good enough to get it done over the long haul, so why bother? But the message of the gospel is that Christ is enough. That grace is enough. We don't have to be good enough. All we have to do is keep our eyes on Christ, because Christ is enough. It has been my great joy to see what God is able to do with a church that refuses to boast in anything except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We are a community of broken people who have been made complete through the atoning work of the Lord Jesus Christ. So our confidence remains unshakable through all the storms that rage, and the pressure to revert back to a works-based religion of performance-driven acceptance. And as long as we hold fast to this message, church, God will continue to use us to impact the lives of people all around us, people who are just as broken as us. You know, many of you were willing to uproot your families and come to this campus 2.5 years ago to launch. And many of you since that time have been wearing 2 or 3 hats. Some of you may be 4 hats since we launched this campus 2.5 years ago. And I want to say personally, thank you from the bottom of my heart for your willingness to step up and make a difference week in, week out, year in, year out. And I know that many of you are tired, but it's a good kind of tired, right? You know, to be tired for the glory of God is what I call invigorating exhaustion. To be exhausted for the glory of God has a way of energizing us, strengthening us, invigorating us. When you lay down at night and put your head on that pillow and you can look back over your day and know that you did your dead level best to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, man, that has a way of just strengthening you, right? God has called us to do what we do in the power that He supplies. A few weeks ago, I had the privilege, the joy of taking my oldest son to Falls Creek Youth Camp. It was Indian Week in Davis, Oklahoma. And this is the place where God got a hold of my life 27 years ago and brought me to faith and repentance. This is also the same place that Pastor Derek surrendered to God's call to serve as a pastor. And Victor Cope was a gentleman that God put me in touch with, and he invited me and my son to stay with his group. Now listen to this. Victor Cope is 62 years old. He is a bivocational pastor. He is a middle school teacher. He is the executive director of Indian Falls Creek, which had over 3,000 people there. And the week before camp, he had just gotten back from Montana, where he was working on a reservation serving the Blackfeet tribe after teaching summer school. 62 years old. How does he do it? Invigorating exhaustion. The joy of the Lord is his strength. You know, we live in a world where people are celebrated for giving themselves up to the point of utter exhaustion when it comes to everything under the sun in their pursuit of happiness. Listen, our pursuit is not the pursuit of happiness. It is the pursuit of Christ likeness. And in the pursuit of Christ likeness, we discover true happiness. In our collective pursuit of Christ, and in our collective service to Christ, God is using us to build His church right here in Olathe, Kansas. Since we launched back in February of 2015, we have seen an increase of total membership of 84 people, 26 of those through baptism. Since September of last year, which began our new church year, we've had a total of 26 new members, 8 of whom were through baptism. Way to go, church family, and glory to God. God is building his church just as he promised he would do. And do you know how God builds his church? God builds the church by building the believer. And believers are never built in isolation. Believers are always built in community. So I can't say it enough. We cannot care for you outside of community, outside of a Sunday school class. There's just no way we can do it. Community is what happens when we are willing to know and be known, to love and be loved, to serve and to be served. Listen, I have to know you before I can care for you, before I can really love you and serve you, and you have to know me before you can do the same. What we are watching unfold right before our very eyes is a work that can only be explained by God. Listen, if it could be explained any other way, I wouldn't want any part of it because it's doomed to fail. It's just a matter of time. I want to be a part of something that's guaranteed to fail unless God comes through. Since our first merger discussion, God has been faithful to come through for us time and time again. Listen, God is in this place, and he is making a difference in the lives of people in this church and in our community. Although I had no idea what this thing was going to look like 3.5 years ago when this conversation first began, I was all in, and so are you. And for those of you who are new to the Blue Valley family, maybe you join post-merger, maybe you join post-launch, I think you might find it very encouraging to know that there was not a single dissenting vote when the decision was made for the former Fellowship Baptist Church to join hands with Blue Valley Baptist Church in the work of the gospel. Because we believe from the outset that we could be better together for the gospel. We could be better together for the church. We could be better together for the glory of God. And that is why we take time out of the year, every year, to reflect on God's faithfulness and celebrate God's goodness. To God be the glory. Great things he has done.